What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to the one and only Sports Night here at GazetteSports.com, your weekly sports talk show, the only place in Long Beach to talk Long Beach sports. And
if we see you talking about Long Beach sports at Legends, you are in trouble.
It is a great day to be an American. After the election, a perfect time to sit down and talk about things that really matter. Sports in Long Beach. As always, I am co-sports editor of GazetteSports.com and the Gazette Sports Sexton, J.J. Fiddler. To my left,
I'm Mike Garabasio. I am the other half of J.J. I'm his better half.
Oh, my.
And professionally.
And to our right.
Professionally.
Mike, I can feel your energy from two people away.
Ty, don't kill my vibe.
I'm not going to.
I'm enjoying this post-election Wednesday, I'll tell you that much.
I'm Tyler Hendrickson, staff writer at GazetteSports.com, and I'm just an all-around great guy.
You know, we listen to a lot of talk radio. Well, at least I listen to a lot of talk radio. And it was a respite to get back to sports talk radio today after political talk radio all day yesterday. And I got to be honest with you, if you were to compare the two, it would be hard to tell which one is taken more seriously. Because yesterday, there was a lot of people just ignoring numbers, ignoring rationale, ignoring pretty much anything except towing the party line. And then you get to sports talk radio today and they're like, these are numbers. These are predictions. These are things that could happen. Here's rational thought.
They were roving around, grasping at straws.
Karl Rove would be laughed off ESPN if he tried to do what he did to numbers on the network.
You know, that's kind of a great point. We don't necessarily need to go too much into it. Before we move off of politics, though, I have to say on behalf of everyone at the show and the website, thank you so much, everyone who voted for Prop 30. Bravo. Tyler and I, sitting at my kitchen table, trying to finish our videos. JJ wrapped up significantly earlier than us because he's industrious and we are not.
we get caught up in the moment.
I think the last time I hit refresh was about 4:30 in the morning, and we realized, okay, this is safe. We're looking good. For those of you that don't know, obviously we did a piece about some of the potential negative impacts of what could happen to Long Beach sports if that didn't pass. Could have been devastating cuts. And we were talking last night. We brought up LBCC football. We're like, well, hopefully they'll be able to have a program next year. And then we realized, wait, Prop 30's passing. We don't need to say that after every single thing we say anymore.
Right? Yeah, it's. The great unknown is now known, and it's known in a good way, at least from our perspective and for what we do and the people that we interact with.
Unapologetically from our perspective.
Well,
yeah.
It's not going to be the last time we vote on schools in November, I feel like. But it is a good step forward because, let's be honest, when was the last time public schools took a step forward in November?
Well,
it's been a while.
And it might be the last time we vote on Schoolmageddon.
Yeah. All right. Well, we couldn't do all of the sports coverage in Long Beach without those schools, obviously. Also, couldn't do it at Gazette Sports and GazetteSports.com without the tops list of sponsors. I mean, they were voted for, you know?
Naples Ripco, one of the few authorized places besides a sports night where you are allowed to talk Long Beach sports. Go get some. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I might leave this show halfway through and go get some ribs for lunch.
That sounds like a great plan.
That might happen.
Sounds like a Jordan Wilson highlight.
There is a coupon at the top of GazetteSports.com that will give you 50% off of your lunch menu at Naples Ripco. Take advantage of that, for God's sakes. Bacardi's Jewelry, here for you since 1932, Long Beach's oldest and finest jewelry store.
And, of course, Performance Vein Institute of Los Alamitos. We've been talking to them, trying to convince them to move to Long Beach. No dice thus far, but still, you can go to Los Al and see how your veins are performing. Also, Friedman's Appliances, the Sleep Center is now open. Go count those sheep and catch some Z's on our website. And then, of course, Care Jones, let him help you save. State Farm agent.
Get yourself, your business, or anything on the list of sponsors by hitting the contact button on the top of GazetteSports.com. There's other ways to be involved at GazetteSports.com, and we will talk about that as we get into this show. Each and every week, we bring you three topics surrounding Long Beach sports. We will be talking about the CIF playoff brackets that you may not know about. We'll also run down the personality change that's happening with Long Beach State basketball, both men and women. But first, yes, you saw the release on Sunday first here at GazetteSports.com. It is Pac-5 football time. Playoffs!
What's up?
And three more league teams are going to try to take down the... Can we just start calling it the best bracket in the nation? Is that fair?
It is.
Unquestioned, yeah.
Okay. Certainly. More high-flying highlights in the Pac-5 and hard-hitting defense in the Pac-5 than any other place in the nation. And once again, the Moore League is at a disadvantage even before the thing starts. Now, is that new? Is that old? I don't know. But it's very apparent that the Moore League is behind the eight ball.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're looking at realistically a best case scenario of going 1-2 in the first round. You know, and you can blame that on money, you can blame it on coaching, you can blame it on schools and their priorities. But whatever you want to blame it on, disadvantage, I think, is kind of the polite word almost. Because if you look at this, Cabrillo going to St. Bonaventure, down their best player who's out for the rest of the year with a knee injury, and down their coach serving a 2-game suspension for being ejected twice in one season. That's really not going
to
go well.
St. Bonaventure, the top seed in the entire bracket. Lakewood's going to be having to travel to Santa Anta to take on, Santana to take on Modern Day. And Pauly gets to be at home to take on Bishop Aumont. Pauly actually got the best draw, maybe, since we started this job.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate draw last year having to get Santa Margarita in the second round. Thought they might get the Eagles again, but the Jackrabbits got Bishop Aumont, which is a winnable game, an at-large, one of the at-larges into the bracket. No game is easy in the Pac-5.
That was Ryle, and that was head coach Ryle Lara's point.
That's every coach's point every year.
Well, but in the Pac-5, it is true. Absolutely. You're talking about an at-large bid that's 8-2 that only has lost to two of the top five teams in the Pac-5. I mean, Bishop Aumont's a phenomenal team. They've got a potential NFLer in one of their defensive backs. They're great. And Pauly would have to play Mission Viejo at Mission Viejo in round two. So certainly there's no such thing as an easy draw, but it was certainly more favorable, we feel, than having to host Santa Margarita in the first round.
But that's all on paper, because they could just turn around and Bishop Aumont could just win the whole darn thing.
That's why they played the game.
Exactly. And let's keep in mind, you know, we're talking about it being a good thing going 1-2. We're not trying to be negative here.
No.
But everyone was talking about, after the first couple weeks of the season, oh my gosh, is the Moore League even going to win a game?
Well, we wrote articles about it.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone's thinking, uh-oh, we're not going to win in the Pac-5. We don't have, you know, private schools. We don't have enough money. We're not going to be able to compete. So this is something that's been talked about. I think I feel better about the Moore League's chances now than I did, you know, back in week two or three.
Well, certainly because when Pauly lost that game to Narbonne, you're thinking,
well, and
oh,
Lakewood
wow.
lost to Bosco big and all that kind of stuff, and people were giving up points left and right. It didn't look great, but now at this point, the teams have improved by playing each other, hopefully, and they can go out and try to represent. But I think you're right, Mike, 1-2, let's just get that win, because being shut out, you're really talking at a good chance of being redistricted out of the Pac-5.
Well, and that may happen one way or another, but certainly just for pride's sake, this is such a great football town, you'd hate to go 0-3.
It's as if someone should write a book about that.
Pick up Mike's book at any local bookstore. You know, we talked about this Pac-5 Moore League relationship early on this season, like Mike mentioned, when Moore League went 0-7, we wrote an article, you know, is this too much for schools that struggle to raise enough money for new home jerseys every season? It is the state of public schools going up against private schools. But that's coaches. And, you know, this is not saying anything or being disparaging about anybody who's coaching football in Long Beach right now, but there is a difference between getting paid an actual salary and being a full-time high school football coach than being a walk-on coach and getting a stipend.
Well, let's be honest. There's a difference in the kind of guy that's available to you with those two things. And
that's what I mean. Yeah.
And certainly, to an extent, that is a knock, I think, on a walk-on coach. But just at the end of the day, if you and I are hiring an employee and we can offer $5, essentially, let's just use actual numbers. If you and I are looking to hire an employee to work at Gazette Sports, and we have $5,000 a year, that's going to give us a specific group of people that we can employ. If we have $150,000 that we can give a year, that's going to open us up to a lot of different levels. And that's how you see these high schools actually hiring away some lower level. I mean, we've seen coordinators from Air Force in the high school ranks. They're hiring guys away from lower paying colleges, some of them Division I, because their pockets are deeper. And at the end of the day, I don't mean that as a disrespect to the people who come into this city and worked and put their heart and soul into it, but there has to be an acknowledgement that It used to be that money-wise, Long Beach had the most buying power because the district made it a point to give these on-campus jobs to great coaches. And now, is Jerry Jaso a coach in Long Beach if he's 30 years old and trying to break into coaching right now? I don't know.
No, probably not. One of the ways you can't get around that is by hiring an on-campus coach. Now, before
hiring a coach who's already on campus,
right? Well, an
because we can't give jobs to people.
An on-campus teacher who is also a coach, you know, like the way high school sports used to be across the board. But that's one way you can get around it, and that's the way Jordan went. Jordan head coach Thomas Barnes stepped down on Monday, and they ended up hiring John Kane, who is a teacher at Jordan, but also has coaching experience.
At Jordan, at Wilson, and he was a linebackers coach at Cerritos College for a number of years. So he's sort of the diamond in the rough in the scenario you just presented.
Right.
Where you not only have a guy on campus, but he loves your campus, and he's a legitimate coach, not a guy who could coach.
Now, continuity is important in any professional venture, or even amateur sports. Continuity is very important. That lands on the head coach first and foremost, I think. And when the head coach, Kane, comes to Jordan, he will be the ninth new Moore League hire as a head coach over 3 years. That's 9 new coaches over a 3-year span.
In the league.
In the league.
Right.
Which is just, that's just a shocking number.
It's a lot of new hires.
It's not the way it used to be, certainly, and it's difficult. That is another thing about walk-on coaches I think you have to say is it's a lot easier for those positions to be transitory. If you work at Jordan, chances are you're going to stay at Jordan. You know, an object at rest tends to stay at rest. If you're making a living at Jordan High School, it's a lot easier for you to coach there because you don't have to drive across town. I mean, look at how quickly Scott Meyer got tired of driving from Jordan where he taught to Wilson where he was the defensive coordinator. So, that on-campus thing, hopefully with the passage of Prop 30, we can get back to making good mentors a priority. In athletics, but certainly it's going to be an uphill climb.
Well, and I think it takes Long Beach people wanting to stay Long Beach people. You know, if you went to a certain school or you have ties to Long Beach, be willing to, you know, I guess at this point you almost have to be an on-campus teacher, to kind of feel like you're competing salary-wise with some of the other big-time coaches. But it is that diamond in the rough. I think that's the perfect thing that you said, Mike. Someone who's like a Long Beach guy, wants to give back to Jordan, has a legitimate resume, and is teaching on campus, and has been there. We will see how the Kane administration works out in J-Town.
Really quick, they are out there. I mean, there's a Lakewood teacher who was coaching at Servite a few years ago. An administrator at Pauley's Powell campus is an assistant coach at Cerritos College. I mean, guys are out there who have district jobs. It's just a question of how can you entice them into a high school program.
Right. Well, how do you get them to the high school program, and how do you keep them there? You know, you have to keep these coaches for at least a little while to have that thing turn
Thomas
over.
Barnes' 3-year tenure now feels like an eternity in the Moore League, doesn't it?
Right.
You see a sophomore class graduate from when you were a head coach. I mean, that's crazy, but look at Compton, where it's like almost a revolving door, you know, of coaches at this point.
Well, hopefully the hiring of Coach Kane is the first in a long line of us not having to do those stories.
Absolutely, yeah, right? We're a little tired of it.
So Pauley, Lakewood, Cabrillo, all going to be playing in the Pac-5 playoffs on Friday. Those games actually start at 7:30. Usually in the regular season they start at 7, but those will be 7:30. So stay tuned to GazetteSports.com. We will have the live updates, as always, for you to follow around because we will be at all 3 games. Obviously, that's impossible for you to do. We'll have the full coverage up on Saturday morning as well, so you can follow the Pac-5 playoffs. I'm going to go out on a limb and predict 2 more league victories. Maybe that comes in the first round. Maybe that comes in the first and second round. I don't know, but 2 sounds good.
Respect.
Hashtag respect.
What can you do for us? That's the question I ask myself every morning when I wake up. The first thing you could do, on the right column of GazetteSports.com, scroll down, between the Gazette Sports Twitter feed and the Gazettes.com arrest logs. That's a cozy piece of property. And put your email address into the bar that says sign up for our new email newsletter. What that's going to give you is every morning when you wake up, maybe you used to wake up to a daily newspaper and a cup of coffee, in your email inbox you will have an email from us with all of the top headlines of the day. It's a way to make sure, even if you don't read them, if you just scan them for 30 seconds, it's a way to make sure that you have a quick taste of everything that's going on in Long Beach sports. And of course, you'd be doing us a huge favor.
triple threat pivot to Long Beach State basketball now. You know, I tell this story a lot, or at least I used to. When I first arrived at Long Beach State as a student, there were about three other people in the student section. We were losing every game by double digits. It was a tough life. They turned that around with illegally gotten transfers. But that was the state of Big West Conference basketball. That's what Big West Conference basketball was. The land of forgotten toys, misfit toys, you know? It was everybody who couldn't make it somewhere else needed to come back to Division I basketball in the Big West. And that's how these teams got good. That's how Fullerton got good. That's how Pacific got good. They weren't getting these kids from high school. It was the 2 years removed come back. And now, with Long Beach State, after the departure of Casper Ware and the Fab Four, are back to where we used to be, with a host of new faces, the majority of which are playing Division I basketball for the first time ever, or the first time in a long while.
It's worth noting two things. That reputation of Long Beach State was so solidified that Dan Munson actually said that he thought about that, you know, when he was interviewing for the job. Oh, this is Long Beach, people sort of check in for a couple years or whatever. The other thing that's worth noting is it was sort of a return. It was a sort of a transfer factory. Munson came in and actually built this wonderful program where there was a four-year continuity. All the boosters, the students got to know the kids on the team really well. And now that it has come back to more of a clearinghouse of transfers, the thing that's worth noting is the talent level of the transfers is significant. It went up and then it went down. I think the talent level has gone up. You just return to the method of acquiring them.
Well, and I think that it's not necessarily better or worse. I just think it's a little riskier. Because when you bring in transfers, they're older kids, obviously. They come from different backgrounds as far as where they've been playing. And so you have, obviously, a shorter time with them. You don't have an opportunity to really mold them into your system. But I think the reward is going to be so high, particularly for this group of transfers, because the talent is ridiculous. And these are guys that you really wouldn't have been able to get coming out of high school on a talent level if you're Long Beach State.
Absolutely. Right, that's a great point. I mean, you look at it, a guy like Dan Jennings who can go set a freshman rebounding record at West Virginia. That guy wasn't going to come to Long Beach State at 18 years
old. He's a Big East guy.
Right.
But now he's a Big West guy.
Right.
And I have a feeling he's going to like being a Big West guy, because I don't know that there's another Big West guy wants to get in front of him.
Ever. Another Big West guy to match up to Dan Jennings.
The Big Thump is going to be out there handling his business.
I mean, that is certainly the projection based on the matchup. Obviously, it has yet to come to fruition, but we don't have to wait much longer to find out.
You know what's going to be cool, though, is that Mike Caffey is the guy out of high school coming to Long Beach State,
right.
Wants to be here for 4 years, got time as a freshman, got to learn under, you know, one of the best point guards maybe ever at Long Beach State and Casper Ware. You know, that's still a storyline that we get with that guy.
Right.
But the other returner is James Ennis,
who's
here for the second year.
Well, and, you know, it is certainly what I find kind of interesting, JJ, as you talk about that kind of cycle, is that the women's team is kind of on the reverse right now. After getting some transfers in, basically because they had to fill holes from people leaving after Jody Wynn got there, people who didn't like running in practice particularly, now suddenly they've got 10 returners, 8 of whom are sophomores, who got playing time last year as freshmen. And I talked to her about, did you kind of look at what Dan was able to do with the men's team and take some inspiration from that? And she said, absolutely. She thinks Alex Sanchez could be that Casper Ware figure. She thinks that, you know, having people around for 4 years, giving students a chance to get to know them, having them be the public face for a good chunk of time, because 4 years is a long time, and, you know, especially in a conference like the Big
Right.
West where there's a lot of transfers, she thinks that's going to give them the stability they need. And this is going to be the second year of that, and I'm interested to see how it plays out. But it is kind of interesting that they sort of they're rolling in cycles right now, and the women's team maybe drawing a little inspiration from the men's team right where the men's team was 3 years ago.
Well, sometimes you have to take your lumps a little bit. You know, you have to say, look, we could have tried to go out and catch lightning in a bottle with a talented transfer, but we're going to play young kids, we're going to try to build that continuity and make a team out of it,
yeah.
Which is what the men's team was able to do last year. And then, you know, if you then quickly make the right decisions after that, you can keep the momentum going and kind of build a brand and a name for yourself. But the important thing is, you got to shout out, the administration has to be patient with coaches. Because when they're trying to do that, you can't say, Well, I mean, we've been in the middle tier of the Big West every year for three straight years. We're going to have to fire the coach, and then maybe the kids leave, and then you have to start all over. But it's a process. You know, it takes time to get to that level, and when you have inexperienced players trying to form that comfort level with one another, the payoffs can be great, and we've seen it the last 2 years with the men's team, but it requires patience from the fans, the community, the coaching staff, and the administration.
Well, look at, Dan Munson's, the sophomore class of those four guys. Obviously, Dan wasn't going to lose his job or anything, but that sophomore year was definitely a slump and kind of a regression, and there's certainly frustration about that. For Jody Wynn last year, she's got all these freshmen. They finished eighth in the Big West out of nine teams, and it looks like, they barely made the conference tournament. Are these guys in trouble? Is this the right group of freshmen to stick around for 4 years, or are you just going to be slogging through it for 4 years? And then they make a run in a week to the conference tournament right. championship game, and suddenly, oh my God, the future is wide open. All this. But it really does take that patience, because for most of that season last year for the women's basketball team, it was like, man, they really play hard, and they're really not getting any results out of it.
Well, and you knew how injured they were.
Absolutely.
And so last year you thought, man, if they were only healthy, and then now you say, well, if they, once they have time together and once there's actually depth, then it'll be very interesting to see. But I think it's a great comparison and a tremendous parallel between the men's team a couple of years ago and where the women's program is now. And then maybe you should be taking notes to see what Dan Munson and crew does. And then the women's team might be focused and faced with that question in a couple years.
We're going to get Candace Parker's fifth year of eligibility in a couple of years.
Don't say things like that.
We've got the first look at both of those teams this weekend. The women are going to be in the Walter Pyramid on Friday night at 7 p.m. taking on Sac State, those feisty Hornets. And then on Saturday at 3 p.m., it's homecoming at the Mid as Long Beach State men's basketball takes on North Alabama. That game, obviously, against a D2 team to kind of get right before they hit the road to go see USC. And then come home next weekend to see North Carolina. Yet again, Dan Munson is apple pie in the sky hopes with this non-conference schedule. Something that he said in the preview that's going to be on the website tomorrow is not going to change. He's like, hey, this team is not ready for the schedule that team last year was playing. But we're not going to stop scheduling like that. We promise these kids in their living room that we're going to go around and play the nation's best. Just because they're not ready doesn't mean we change that philosophy.
Dan Jennings, the first thing that I asked him when I talked to him last year, long before he was like in uniform or anything, I said, how do you end up in Long Beach here at West Virginia? I mean, that's a long way to come, and it's a very different school, obviously. And he said, I was looking for a place where I was going to be able to dominate, and he feels that in the Big West he'll be able to do that. And he said he was looking for a school that was going to let him get on the big stage. And he knows, while he's at Long Beach State, he could see West Virginia again.
Oh, for sure.
So, that's a big legitimate recruiting draw that you get to go play at Duke. You get to go play at Kentucky.
Well, they're going to Syracuse. They're going to Ohio State. They're going to UCLA. They're going to USC. Like I said, North Carolina. They're going to play Fresno State twice. I mean,
fancy new Poly Pavilion.
Another great schedule put together by Munson, and it might be hard early on. This your weekly update that Tony Freeland and Keala King are still not cleared by the NCAA.
Wednesday, November 7th, still no word on two of our five starters. Thanks, NCAA, for making us a priority.
If you don't know about those two guys, like I said, the preview for this team will be available on the website on Thursday, so you can check out that. But those two guys could definitely change the face of this team early on. They will still play. It's just when they play will be decided by the NCAA. An unfortunate rhyme, but still very true.
Hey,
JJ!
It's basketball season, y'all. As you can tell, we're pretty excited about it. Stick with us. We will have all the coverage of basketball in Long Beach High School and Long Beach State at GazetteSports.com.
So you've gone and signed up for the email newsletter. Greatly appreciated. Thanks so much for that. You're wondering, what else can I do to make Mike, JJ, and Tyler's day a little bit better? Obviously, what we'd love to do is to talk to you. Go onto your social media sites. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We will be on Instagram at some point in the future, but we're not quite there yet. Twitter, at Gazette Sports, at Gazette's updates will be your live score updates. But at Gazette Sports is where you can talk to us, ask us questions, really anytime you want. We'll try and get back to you as quickly as possible. You can also search for Long Beach Gazette Sports on Facebook and be friends with us.
As we mentioned in the first segment, and we talk again in the last segment, it's playoff time!
Playoffs!
High school playoffs around the nation going on in this month of November. We are concentrating on the CIF Southern Section, and more specifically, the Moore League. A lot of teams in action this week, not just football.
No, I mean, obviously, football is going to take up a big chunk of your brain and a big chunk of our literal and figurative website brain, but there is a lot of other stuff going on. We've got a comprehensive coverage of last night's water polo and volleyball matches. You'll see a lot of that stuff, too, but it's beyond even that. We've got a CIF qualifying cross-country meet coming up on Saturday at Mount Sac. Girls' tennis teams have all sort of given it a go and fallen out already. We've got individual tournaments for tennis and golf. And the golf team competition, which has concluded for the Long Beach teams as well. So a lot of kids out there trying to do something special in the playoffs, and we start this off with a salute to them.
I mean, there's something special about the playoffs, right? Even when you walk into the gym or the natatorium or the field or whatever it is.
They check your pass, for one thing.
They do check your pass.
Which doesn't normally happen.
But you can just feel it. Right? Am I the only one?
No, absolutely. We talk about this every year that we do this. The regular season feels longer, and the playoffs are more exciting. Because you finally are like, you know, how many regular season basketball games have you seen? But when you get to the playoffs, it's like, now it's 10 games for two championships. You know, who wants to get this done now? The adrenaline just picks up so much more. Because we've also seen so many crazy twists in the Moore League season that, say, someone gets shocked in the first round of a Moore League schedule. We're like, okay, but probably the team that beat them is going to lose to a third-place team.
Right.
And then we'll have co-champions or something like that down the line. So it is really, but the playoffs, you get to it. And, you know, we all went and covered volleyball last night. If any of our teams had had an off night, that would have been the last time we saw those seniors.
Right. And that's on the line every time you show up.
Well, and I think another thing different about the playoffs is, you know, you get used to, obviously, it's hard to know you know, when to be at games kind of thing. But you know that this is important. Even if it's not a great match, you know that there's something on the line. The other thing about it is,
as in the case for all of us last night.
Exactly. The other thing about it is you get used to seeing the same teams. You know, you see those Pauley Wilson, Pauley Lakewood, things like that. Those, you know, league rivalries. But now you get new faces, new mascots, new fans, people from all over. And, you know, you see that big yellow bus at the school, you know, and that brought the visiting team and fans.
It's got some weird name on the side of it that you don't recognize.
Yeah, and especially basketball, teams don't really play. Teams don't really play at their home gym in the preseason, really. It's always tournaments.
Right.
Well, look at the Pauley boys basketball team, number four in the country. They have 8 home games this year.
And it's all
until the playoffs start, when they could then have another 6.
Right. So I think that makes it a special thing, because you see a Long Beach team against a team you don't know or want to win, I guess, secretly.
Now, we can also put our Long Beach shirts on and let it rip a little bit.
You were taking the words right out of my mouth. I wanted to talk about that. The clash of styles. Also, I enjoy, because we know what Long Beach style is.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard-nosed. It's defensive. It's a bit ragtag, but it's fun to watch.
It's also, above all else, it's athletic.
It's
and, like, I know at the volleyball match I covered last night, it was basically just girls who could jump hitting over the block of girls who couldn't jump.
Oh, dude, head coach, Lakewood head coach Mike Wadley, the first thing he said about Alex Winfield, the junior who made her first start on the right side last night and led the team with 12 kills, was, she's real athletic.
Right, and, you know, compared to these teams that come in from the two Pueblos or from Irvine and Northwood and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah, not to shout out any names in particular.
No,
but
just a place where there might be.
They show
Pueblos
up with, you know, team jackets and team bags and.
Love that.
A lot of things that have their, you know, specific school name on them.
They got both parents making that trip.
Yeah. They're affluent. They're affluent. It's just, it's nice. It's real nice.
It's nice to strike a blow for the little guy and for our community, certainly. We do enjoy that. There's also just the sense of giving life to your team. And I think that is the thing. You know, life and death becomes this sort of, I think, ridiculous analogy in sports when you talk about, oh, we gave them life, or at the death in soccer. But you do sort of get a little bit of that feeling in the playoffs. We covered a Pauley water polo game yesterday. Best game of the playoffs so far. Jackrabbits lose 10-9. Game winner scored with 5 seconds left in the entire game by Edison. And the thing was, it was a wild card game. The winner got to go and play Modern Day in the first round. Modern Day is undefeated over the last 2 years and has 5 of the 12 players on America's youth national team on their squad.
They would also beat some small countries.
Yeah, that's not a joke.
They're not going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. It's not going to happen. I asked the Poly coach, is that any kind of a condolence? Like, oh, you don't have to go lose by 16 to Modern Day. And you know what he said, really, I thought was kind of beautiful. He said, you know, I just love this team so much, I wanted to coach them for one more day. And it was that fact that it was one more day, because literally the wild card's on Tuesday and the first round's Wednesday. So you're literally talking about 24 hours of being a team. That would have been worth getting pummeled by a school that Poly hates. Yeah, that would have been worth it to him, to have that extra 24 hours. I thought that was really special. And I think that's kind of what the playoffs is all about. Just trying to hang on and keep practicing together.
Yeah, tip of the cap to Coach Breitenberg and everybody there over at Poly. That was a great game yesterday against Edison. If you didn't see it, get to GazetteSports.com.
Is there a video? Is there a video of every playoff game that happened in Long Beach yesterday at GazetteSports.com? On election night, did we do 4 highlight videos?
Oh, my.
We got it in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That impresses me.
It was a fun night of playoffs. Hopefully, there will be many more to come very soon here in the LBC and across the Southland. Stick with GazetteSports.com. We literally got you covered. The results are in. All precincts reporting. That was officially sports night. I mean, I don't know what else to say except to shout out the sponsors one more time.
Naples Rib Co. I seriously might take advantage of that 50% off lunch coupon right now. If you're listening to this, get over to Naples Rib Co. We can have some lunch together.
Do it.
McCarty's Jewelry, here for you since 1932. Long Beach's finest and oldest jewelry store.
Los Alamitos Cardiovascular, celebrating 31 years. The Sleep Center now open at Friedman's Appliances. And, of course, State Farm agent Care Jones. He cares.
We've been plugging our coverage at GazetteSports.com for this entire show of sports night. Now it's your turn. Get to GazetteSports.com. Leave your comments on all of the stories. We might just read one of them on this show, which we bring to you each and every week. We record it on Wednesday afternoon, put it up on the site, so get involved with GazetteSports.com. Get involved with Long Beach Sports, because, well, we are Long Beach Sports. For everybody at the Gazette Newspapers, GazetteSports.com, and the website, for Mike, for JJ, for Tyler.
For JJ!
Wait, what?
Wait.
He did it right, except you did it out of order.
Yeah, what?
Normally it's
I
for
tried
Mike,
to throw
for,
you off, and
Tyler,
it totally worked.
It definitely
Listen,
worked.
I'm easy to throw off today.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Mike.
We will be in the stands this weekend. We hope to see you there, Long Beach. Take care, y'all.